All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. A quick heads up, and we will get started. This is Destination Health. We're going to do 1 or 2 hours, depending on how heavy the call volume is. Calls are starting to come in, but there's still room for questions. So if you have a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we will get to you. If you have a general question, you can go ahead and press 1 on your phone. We may or may not get to you at the end. Just depends. Lately, we've had more health questions than we can get to. But the sooner you press 1, the better your odds are, and I'll keep you updated. Here we go. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and this is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham, and we're here to take your calls and answer your questions about everything health. We've been lied to, and it's killing us. Kim and I are here to help you break through to the truth and reach your healthy destiny. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, and Kim is an Ironman triathlete, and we believe that the key to a long, healthy, vibrant life starts with a properly prepared, nutrient-dense whole food diet. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about food, nutrition, weight loss, disease, training, prescription drugs, and so much more. And of course, we'll wrap it all around that trucking lifestyle. Kim, welcome back.
So good to be here, Kevin.
Great to have you. We're going to get to a lot of calls and questions here in a little bit, but so much going on, a couple things I want to talk about. I have a book review today, a book recommendation. We'll talk about that. And we just finished up at the Great American Truck Show. We did our first health seminar at a truck show. We were in the Landstar Health Pavilion. And I have to say, I was really excited about the turnout. The show itself was kind of quiet. In fact, I'll tell you, on Thursday, we had a presentation over at truckstop.com, a business presentation. And if I remember right, on Thursday, it was scheduled for 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, there was nobody there, not a single person in a seat. Yeah. And I thought, oh boy, now what do we do?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to start. So I just started talking. And the good news was, by the time we finished, I probably had about 20 people there, which was the biggest group anywhere you could see in the show. And I was watching over in the health pavilion. They had some great presentations, and they would get, you know, maybe a third or a half of the seats filled up. When we went over and did our presentation, not long after we started, we were standing room only. And the really cool thing was how many people were who stopped and were asking questions, and they weren't drivers. The audio guy who was there doing all the audio and video for us, he was just so excited and asking questions. And a lot of the vendors in the health pavilion stopped what they were doing and they came over and watched. So it was exciting. It was really good.
That is so cool. I just love how there's a certain energy that happens, and because I know people want this. And when you hear that it's that simple and we can do it ourselves through our, you know, eating and things we do, there's something so empowering about that that just draws people in. And it's this movement is amazing.
You know, the other thing I'm really starting to notice, and it's exciting, one of the challenges of eating whole real food is that it's not nearly as convenient as the standard American diet, but that's the whole problem with the standard American diet. It's overprocessed packaged food. And in packaging food, the big food companies have done a couple things. One, they want to make the food as cheap as they can possibly make it. and they really don't care about nutrition. That is not their goal, to make nutritious food. Their goal is to make cheap food and to make us eat a lot of it. So they use the worst ingredients they can possibly use, the cheapest stuff they can find. And we've talked about this in the past. They have this down to a science of knowing how much salt, sugar, and fat to put in a food to make it almost addictive. I shouldn't even say almost. These foods are addictive. Those are their only goals. So to get the convenience we want, we really sacrifice nutrition and quality, and ultimately we're sacrificing our health for convenience. But I understand that convenience. We're busy, especially drivers living on the road. They don't have a whole lot of time. They don't have, you know, a kitchen facilities. And so one of the things I'm excited about is I am seeing more and more foods being produced as convenience packaged foods, but very high quality. You know, most of it is being marketed under a paleo label, and they're not using bad industrial oils. They're not using any food additives. They're not using, you know, artificial flavors and preservatives. And it's really exciting to see more of these foods become available. The one thing you have to be aware of is sticker shock. The reason these foods are healthy is because they're using really, really good ingredients. And they don't have really long shelf lives because they don't have a lot of preservatives. So you can have, boy, somebody said this really well one time too about, you know, there are three things. You can have cheap food, you can have convenient food, you can have healthy food. You can't have all three. It just doesn't work. If you want healthy food and convenient food, it's going to be more expensive. It just is. But it's worth it. I've been finding some amazing products. And one of the things we're going to do, we're currently working on this. We're working on a whole new store for Let's Truck that we'll be releasing soon. And we'll be adding a lot of the destination health stuff. You know, the supplements will be in there, but we're also looking at a lot of food products. I'm approaching this just like we did on the truck side, where I spend all of my time researching and testing. Now I get to research and test and taste and eat, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And as we find the best stuff, we're going to try to make it available in the store. So somebody, you know, people will have a place they can go to get the best of what we're finding. I found a line of beef sticks, like beef sticks and summer sausage, that are all grass-fed for one thing. But they've taken a really unique twist on this. They did, instead of using any kind of preservatives at all, they fermented the beef sticks. So they're also, not only are they grass-fed, so they're really nutritious, they're a pretty good source of probiotics as well.
Wow, that'll be so neat. And I saw a mock-up of what those, so that's how close, you know, I want people to get excited about this. I mean, we're not right there, but I did see a mock-up of what this is going to look like. And so it's that, we are that close, you know, and so that's really, really exciting, exciting to be able to provide.
Yeah, like I said, just more and more products are starting to reach the shelves. We're still actually in Grapevine, Texas, and I went to a store yesterday that was just amazing. Actually, a very easy store to get into with a truck wouldn't be difficult at all. We've been all over the country. We've shopped at all kinds of Whole Foods and Fresh Markets. And this grocery store in Grapevine, it's called Central Market, would make my top three. I mean, I could have spent hours in there. They had so many really cool products. I actually found a kombucha. I'm drinking it right now. A kombucha that's made from coffee. Boy, is this thing good, too.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, again, it's really exciting to see.
Yeah, and you know, you just bring up such a great point of, and we do get the sticker shock, but what I love about our tribe here is that everybody's so open and so determined, and our group is probably the ones that will be most okay with spending the money, because they just know they're just dedicated to the health, and then they can get that ripple effect going with their family and friends to share with why. But it's that whole thing we talked about before, you know, show me your checkbook or show me your calendar and I'll show you your values. So, you know, we could drop $6-7 on a half gallon of ice cream without blinking sometimes, you know, but to spend that much money right. on like some good cheese or, you know, good meat, yeah. you kind of gasp. And it's just a paradigm shift to say, you know, no, in my budget, this is where I'm going to put most of my money, you know, here on good food and feeding my family good food, and time-wise, taking the time to cook and prepare your own food and cut it up. I think we're just not used to that. We feel like we don't have time to do that, but yet when you do and you cut a beautiful pepper up or, you know, you cook some meat, and just take in all the sensory and the time and give yourself that, I think you're just going to add so much more to your life. And if you have somebody to share that with, even better, because we've gotten away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, another thing I'm finding about the cost is that when you eat real, whole, nutrient-dense food, you just don't eat nearly as much.
Right.
Well, let's get to a break. We'll come back. We'll do a book recommendation, and then we'll get to some phone calls and questions. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. This is Destination L. We are going to get to some phone calls and questions here in a minute. So, Kim, I was thinking about what my next book review or book recommendation should be. And I was thinking back to the beginning, some of the books that really helped influence me in the beginning. And one of them really jumped out and came to mind, and it's Wheat Belly. And actually, there are two versions of the book. There's the original Wheat Belly book that primarily focused just on wheat. And then later on, after doing more and more research, he rewrote the book, and he called it Wheat Belly Total Health, and he focuses on eliminating all grains. And when I read the book, and this is one of those really, really in-depth books on one topic. All he talks about are grains and our diet. That's it. And it's long, and there is tons and tons of evidence and scientific data. This isn't necessarily an easy read, although he's a good writer, and on Audible, the book's narrated well, but it's long. I mean, if I remember, I just like 10 or 11 hours, I think, just about why we shouldn't eat grain. You know, the book talks about why we started eating grain in the first place, because it's not a human food. And it really came down to famine. As the human population was growing and we hadn't really figured out how to domesticate animals yet, we were over hunting in a lot of areas. We also didn't know how to manage, you know, game populations. So today we know that, you know, there are certain ways of managing hunting and, you know, only taking species of certain size or not harvesting females, or we have lots of ways of managing herds and animals, and we didn't know that back then. So it was becoming common that anywhere where there were large populations of humans, they were hunting out entire species and they were disappearing. And it led to a famine. And they started eating grain because they had to survive. Now, if I had to survive, I guess I might eat some as well. But that's not necessary anymore. We have more food than we know what to do with, whole real food. And when you read this book, and he talks about all of the problems with grains. I mean, I could go, and he does in the book, really in-depth into the different proteins. You know, we hear all the time about gluten, and that is certainly one of the problematic proteins, but he talks about hundreds of proteins that are in grains that are not good for us at all. There are anti-nutrients in grains that actually bind to other vitamins and minerals so that our body can't absorb them. There are, and then all grains are high carb. So you get a bunch of problems with grains. The proteins are problematic. The anti-nutrients are problematic. They're high in carbs, and they have virtually no nutrition. In fact, almost all grain products have to be enriched. And of course, the companies can say, well, yes, we put the B vitamins back in, but you know they're putting in the poorest quality source of those nutrients that they're putting back in. And it's almost like supplementation. The best way to get your nutrients are from real whole food, not supplementing and fortifying foods with, you know, fake vitamins. And so, you know, there's so much evidence about the problems with grains and really no reason whatsoever to eat them. So, you know, I think back and this book had a huge impact on me. And the good thing is, if you knew nothing else or did nothing else, if all you did was commit to not eating any kind of grain, and let's be clear, that means wheat, rye, barley, oats, spelt. There's a whole bunch of ancient grains that people are saying are healthier, but I would avoid all of those. It also includes corn. Corn is a grain, not a vegetable. It includes rice. All of those are grains. If you just eliminate them from your diet, you eliminate a lot of problem foods, and you also eliminate a lot of carbs, and you eliminate most processed foods, because almost all processed foods have some component that came from a grain, and you have to get good at reading labels or just stop eating foods with labels. But that one change, avoiding all grains, really provides a lot of benefits in one shot.
Yeah, it does. And it's probably the hardest thing that people have to grasp. But again, one of those paradigm shifts that if you can, you know, step back and embrace it and try it, then and read all the, because we've just been taught that grains are so good. I remember when we were first talking, Kevin, I would be like, oh, but I eat Ezekiel. And you're like, that's worse, you know? And it's true. You think you're doing all the right things, you know, but it takes that open mind to step back and to hear the words, you know, we don't really need them. And look how bad they are. And why don't you try this instead? And gratefully, you'll find some good health pretty quick after getting rid of those.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And if you want a book to help you understand all of the health issues associated with grains, this is the book. My next book recommendation, I'll probably talk about it next week, will be Grain Brain. I read these two back to back. Wheat Belly is really all about the physical effects of grain on the body, and Grain Brain is all about the mental effects of grains and how they affect our brain. And between these two books, if you get done reading these two books and you could still eat grain, I can't. I mean, people say, boy, how are you so strict on this? I don't cheat ever on this. The only way I might ever eat a grain is if it just ends up in a food and I didn't know it. You know, restaurants are always tough because they could be putting it into sauces or soups or salad dressings or who knows. So I when I eat out, I try to avoid foods that grains could be hiding in. But other than that, I have not cheated. Well, I'll tell you one exception. I occasionally eat some white rice, and I may even eat a little more. This is something else I wanted to talk about this week. So I love sushi. I actually had a little last night. I didn't eat all of the rice that was in the sushi, but I ate a little of it. White rice with the outer bran stripped off really doesn't have any of the problems. All the proteins are gone. It's a pretty neutral food. No real negative health benefits to white rice. And they're, especially in sushi rice, because it's been cooked and then cooled, and we eat it cold, it's actually a pretty good source of resistant starch. So I'm not going to eat a ton of it because I still have to watch carb count. But occasionally, I will eat some white rice. I've probably had it 4 times in the last year and a half. But I may eat a little bit more going forward with the resistant starch, which is another topic I wanted to talk about. You know, I keep looking at the whole idea of the ketogenic diet seems to work really well and really easy for men. And with women, it's kind of mixed. Some women get really good results from it. Others, not so much. They're struggling with it. They're not seeing the weight loss. They're not seeing some of the benefits. And a lot of practitioners and people that I read tend to believe that women, for whatever reason, need more carbs. But I started thinking about that and why. What is it about that that's making things better? Now, for women, sometimes these are hormonal issues, adrenals, thyroid. So I thought, well, is it just more nutrition in the fact that they're eating more vegetables? And that's probably a part of it. But I got looking at vegetables, above ground vegetables, greens, peppers, tomatoes, onions, carrots, all the things you might put in a salad or the vegetables you might eat. And honestly, if those were the vegetables you were eating, you could eat so many of them and it really doesn't increase your carb count that much. I mean, you can eat a lot of vegetables and stay pretty ketogenic. Most people can. It's the root vegetables that will really kick up the carb count. But I also started looking up, the root vegetables don't have a lot of nutrition. So I thought, well, you know, what's going on? And a lot of the practitioners are recommending that women eat more of these root vegetables. And they seem to do better health-wise. Now, they're not going to be ketogenic, but they can still stay low enough carb that they'll lose weight. But I think I figured out why the additional root vegetables are helping. I'm going to talk about that right after this when we get back. Stick around. Kevin Rupp. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim Cockerham is my co-host. We're talking about food and primarily some carbohydrates. So Kim, here's, I've read a couple more books and here's what I think might be happening, because it does seem to be that women eating this way do better with more root vegetables. So sweet potatoes, rutabaga, carrot, turnip, beets. And clearly there is some additional nutrition they might be getting from those. But I think the bigger factor is the fact that all of those starches feed the gut bacteria. And so much of what we're learning keeps coming back to the gut bacteria. New information is coming out every day about this, and it is way, way bigger than we know. And we're learning stuff constantly, and I'm really starting to think that that's what's happening with the additional root vegetables. The starches are what feed the good gut bacteria. So if you're eating the probiotic foods and maybe taking a good quality probiotic, but you're not getting enough of the prebiotics, the foods that those bacteria eat, then it's hard to maintain that good gut bacteria. And I think that might be even more critical with women. And I think that's why the root vegetables are working. So I think focusing some more on those starches for women can really help. The resistant starch, maybe even add some potato starch to your diet every day and eat more of those root vegetables. Just keep in mind the overall carb content for the day.
That's interesting. We're slowly, you know, the more people I'm talking to with the supplements and so forth, myself personally, and too, I think there's this, that we already have a small group of women that listen and that are, you know, following this, that are falling into that. So it'll be, I would like to, you know, take this even further, you know, and see what we can do, because yeah, it's a little frustrating, but, you know, still, you know, just concentrate too on eating the whole foods and know that you're doing good. And just, this isn't a journey we're going to hop off of, you know, we're going to stick forward and keep moving forward and find answers. And I, you know, when I had gone to, you know, got my doctor of Chinese medicine, it was kind of very fascinating, Kevin. It was almost telltale, because when I did the ketogenic diet back in 2007, it was like clockwork, you know, it just worked beautifully, you know, just like clockwork, it just did. And so this time is different. Now I'm also 7 years older and, you know, in menopause and dealing with all that with the body. So it was interesting, just when I, you know, it was when I was doing Dr. Hyman's plan, you know, the first week lost it beautifully again, but that shows you more water weight and stuff like that. And then to do nothing for a couple of weeks was kind of a telltale sign too of inflammation going on in the body, and all that comes back to that, you know, try to heal the gut, you know, make sure you're getting good sleep, you know, dealing with, you know, any type of stress, finding ways to do the meditative, you know, just the whole person approach to good health. And just keep focusing.
Yeah, exactly. What do you say we take some phone calls?
That would be perfect.
Let's do that. Let's head off to Georgia. James, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kim.
Hi, James.
Hey. I know this is the third time I've called about blood pressure, but I definitely want to get off of my medication. Now, I just want to go over a few myths as far as lowering blood pressure with you. Ginger root, is that a myth that lowers blood pressure? You're just talking about root vegetables, and I do take it. I cannot stand spicy food, and if I take too much of it, it gives me disaster pants. So is it a myth that it lowers blood pressure? Because if I don't have to take that stuff, I won't.
No, that's not a myth, because ginger is actually very similar to aspirin in that it's a blood thinner and an anti-inflammatory. So, but here's the thing we have to remember, too. We have to be careful of that focus on one nutrient. You know, that's the kind of thinking that got us into a lot of trouble. Yes, ginger, certainly you could add it to your diet, but But what happens when we hear things like that, and I know you're not thinking this way, you're looking at the big picture, but I'd like to
bring
this
up. Yeah, because I think I'm doing everything else. Yeah.
Right. Some people will say, oh, all I have to do is eat some ginger, my blood pressure is going to go down. No, it's not. It's just not going to work that way. But if you eat, you know, add some ginger into your diet along with a good whole food diet, you're reducing stress and you're getting good sleep and you're getting lots of sunshine and you're walking around barefoot. Yeah, if you do all those things, your blood pressure is going to lower. And if you add ginger and turmeric and cinnamon, which are all blood pressure lowering nutrients, it will lower even further. But it's got to be the whole picture. But to answer your question, yeah, ginger does help lower blood pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing everything else. Like, I'm now taking the light balance as you recommended and everything, and I'm exercising in the way that you were saying. And from July to August, it lowered from 146.95 to 132.84 over an average month. That's a full month. That's the average I have, and that's pretty much taking it daily. One thing I've noticed when I take my blood pressure, right, I have an Omron cuff, right, and it's linked to my phone. If I have my palm up by having it down, somehow the reading is lower. And if I take my watch off, it actually affects the blood pressure too. I mean, am I just going off of just thinking that way, or is that just true? That actually does affect your blood pressure readings itself.
It is true. And there are several things that affect this. You know, the position of your arm, like you said, you talked about palm up, palm down, sitting, you know, is your arm hanging? Is it resting on a table? Blood
resting
pressure
on a table.
Blood pressure fluctuates a lot for a lot of different reasons. So taking blood pressure is something we should do a lot. And you are. You have your own cuff. You're testing it. You're trying different things. One of the problems we run into is we get our blood pressure checked once when we go to the doctor, and it comes back high, and then they want to give us drugs and do all kinds of things when there's clear evidence that just the fact that you're in the doctor's office makes your blood pressure go up for a lot of people.
That's
so I wouldn't get too concerned about those little variabilities. What I would do is just find whatever way you like to do it and be consistent. You know, don't take it palm down one time and palm up the next, or, you know, different arms will give you different readings. So I would just find the way you like to do it and be consistent. That way, if it goes down, you know it went down using the same method. It didn't go down because you turned your hand a different way.
Does like cucumbers and celery, does that help with blood pressure, or is that just another myth there?
Again, there are components in real, whole, natural foods, and there are a lot of foods that have nutrients that would help lower blood pressure. They either are blood thinners somewhat, and, you know, blood pressure is kind of like oil pressure in a truck. We talk about the viscosity of the oil will change the oil pressure. A heavier viscosity, a thicker oil, will create more blood or more oil pressure. If your blood is thicker, it will increase blood pressure. So the amount of water that's in your body at any given time, actually, the more water that's in your body, the higher your blood pressure goes. That's why most blood pressure medications have some form of diuretic, which is just a lousy idea.
I drink a lot of water.
When you're fully hydrated, your blood pressure will be higher than when you're dehydrated.
Wow.
That's why.
Okay.
And it's just another example of how screwed up our medical system is. Let's dehydrate somebody. Let's give somebody a diuretic so that their blood pressure is lower. We're not fixing the problem. We're covering up the symptoms. So, all whole real foods, especially a lot of vegetables, are going to be helpful in lowering blood pressure. Yes.
Okay. All right. So what I'm going to attempt to do is just go off my blood pressure medication and see what my readings are going to be without it. and see if I can keep it below 140 over 90, because that's what the FMCSA is requiring us to do. So I'll attempt to do,
yeah,
and see what kind of results I get.
There you go. And keep us informed. Let us know how that's going. And that's a good place to be. You know, the one under 140 over 90, you're not going to see any negative health consequences there. So if we can get under those numbers without medication, then I would say you're much better off being at 140 over 90 with no medication than you are being at 120 over 70 with medication. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Brown. All right, a quick heads up. We're heading into the final segment of the first hour. We are going to do a second hour. So at the end, just hang on and we'll come back and do another one. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. My co-host is with me, Kim Cockerham, and we're going to get back to some phone calls. We're going to go to Ohio. Herschel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Herschel.
Well, first of all, Kevin, I thought of something the other day. I literally was in the shower with the shampoo going, and this hit me. So I had to tell you this. I don't know if Kim told you. You know, you were just talking about that book and your mental being when you get away from grain and all the junk. Well, you know where I was mentally. I've told you before. This just dawned on me, and I never would have thought of this before. And what hit me was to keep up with the Joneses. First, you must believe that you are one of the Joneses. How about that?
Ah, that's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't believe you're to the caliber of everybody else, how are you going to compete?
Oh, absolutely.
And you know that's
you know that.
I, it, yeah.
Yeah. And some of this, you know, when we start talking about health, and we you know, we could also compare this to the placebo effect. If you think that a drug is going to work, it works better than if you think it's not going to work. And we could apply that to food and lifestyle and everything. If you truly believe that a certain way of eating or living is going to help, then it helps more. The placebo effect is really powerful, and we don't even understand why, but it just points out how powerful our mind really is.
And then the question. I talked to Kim yesterday, and I got her to send me some of that Beta Plus.
Okay.
I was using Beta TCP, and I ran out, and I began having all kind of problems again. Well, my NTP sent me some stuff that had one of my ingredients that I'm not supposed to have, which is turmeric. So I sent it back, and I told her I can't take that. My sensitivity says no. I'm not doing anything with those ingredients that's on my list. I'm not doing it. So anyway, I had Kim to send me the Beta TCP Plus, and I was reading. She also sent me some information about it, and I was reading through it. Now, I've been a little vague on how many to take for one, but the other part of it that it said was that you should rotate the Plus and the regular Beta TCP. Does that mean it should be rotated one meal, the regular Beta TCP, one meal, the Plus, or one bottle of the Plus, and then one bottle of the regular TCP? What do you think?
So let's talk about why we would do this. And by the way, we are, for this particular discussion, we're talking about somebody who has their gallbladder. If you don't have your gallbladder, you would take the beta plus all the time. And here's why. Here's why we cycle if we have a gallbladder. And here's why we even use the beta plus if we have a gallbladder. The liver produces bile and stores it, and the gallbladder meters it out based on how much fat we eat in a meal. So the initial thought is, if you have a gallbladder, why do we need the bile salts if we're still have everything in place? Well, because of our standard American diet and all of our low-fat eating and the fact that we're not getting good nutrition, our liver might be producing bile, but it might not be producing a lot, and it might be thick and sticky. It doesn't flow very well. So in the beginning, for people even with a gallbladder, I'm recommending the Beta Plus, which has all of the liver and gallbladder support, but it also has the bile salt itself. The Beta TCP is good liver support, so it helps the liver produce more bile, and it makes the bile thinner, so it flows better. In the beginning, I recommend the additional bile salt, even if you have a gallbladder. The reason, though, that you would cycle, and I think that if people are doing this right, when you get through a bottle of the Beta Plus with the bile salts, you may be able to quit completely. You may not need to keep taking this supplement. If you're eating a good whole food diet, if you're getting some fermented vegetables, if you're getting some beets and beet kvass and some of the other things, you may not need to supplement at all. But if you're going to supplement and you have your gallbladder, I would cycle a bottle at a time. I would do a bottle of TCP, a bottle of Plus, a bottle of TCP. Kim, is that what they're recommending on the sheet we're sending?
You know what? No, it was the video, and they didn't specify. So that might be even a thing that they have some protocols we could look into.
Yeah, and I've talked to most practitioners. They kind of agree with this. And here's the reason why we cycle. Like a lot of things that your body produces, if you start taking the same thing your body produces, it may start producing less. So we don't want the body to become dependent on the fact that we're taking the bile salt to the point that it starts producing less bile. That would defeat the purpose. That's why we don't do the bile salts for an extended period of time if somebody has their gallbladder. If you don't have your gallbladder, you have to do bile salts the rest of your life. But if you have your gallbladder, we would cycle, and my ultimate goal would be to get somebody off of both of them so that they're just getting the liver and gallbladder support they need from their food. Does that all make sense?
It does make sense, and you don't know it, but you now have me as a full-time NTP client, because when I talked to mine about the other she sent that was wrong for me, she said, "Oh, well, I'll refund you, less shipping." I said, "Wait a minute, less shipping? I took your recommendation. You are the professional. You're going to make me eat the cost of having it sent to me and then me send it back to you?" So she's not going to make any more money on me. So, bo fangula. That's it.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with that. NTPs, it's just like every other business we talk about, whether it's shops or tax preparers or whatever. You have to find a relationship that works. Doesn't mean she's a bad NTP. It might just mean that it's not working, you know, for the two of you. So we'd love to have you. You know, we're here for you. And our goal, honestly, is to just to use supplements to fix a problem, and if we can fix the problem and get off the supplement, that's our goal.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's get to Texas. Justin, welcome to the program.
Professor Rutherford, it's a pleasure. Kim, good to talk to you again also.
Hello.
Wheat Belly, 14 hours, 25 minutes, just started into it yesterday. Excellent book. Wanted to ask you, though, my I got done listening to Effortless Healing, the book you recommended about a week and a half ago to me, and I'm looking at possibly getting a D3 K2 supplement. I'm wondering if there's anything wrong with getting that as a combo supplement, or if you would recommend taking them as two individual supplements. I did see it on the Mercola website, but I wanted your thought on that before I ordered it. And then I had another question if you've got time.
Are you doing bulletproof coffee?
I am.
Using grass-fed butter?
Grass-fed butter, coconut oil, yes, sir.
Okay. I would do the D3 on its own, and I wouldn't do the K2. You're getting a lot of K2
okay.
in the bulletproof coffee. Yeah, I wouldn't waste any money on K2. The K2, if you're drinking bulletproof coffee and using grass-fed butter, that is a really good source of K2. So I wouldn't supplement with it. The D, I would supplement with D, but I would also, I think this is one of those areas where if you can get the sunshine every day, especially in the summertime, it's easier to do. You may not even need to supplement with the D3, and you can test your blood levels of D. I'm actually looking at an easier test for vitamin D levels. I just want to make sure it's as accurate as it needs to be before we talk about it. It's almost like the mineral taste test kind of thing. But I'm of the belief that D, vitamin D, critically important. If we need to supplement with it, we should. I do supplement. I actually have a liquid D3 that I really like. You just put a drop on your tongue, and that works really well. So occasionally, winter time, all winter long, I take the D3 supplement every day. In the summertime, I just try to make sure I get outside more often. And again, on the K2, I would just skip that one completely if you're doing the grass-fed butter and bulletproof coffee. Kim, we're just about out of time here. Any final words?
Wow. No, you know, you mentioned D3. It's one of the supplements that, you know, we have a small handful. That's one of them. So email us at supportlesstruck.com, and I'll give you a call.
Absolutely. Great stuff. All right. We've got to get out of here. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time. If you have any questions, comments, topics, etc., send us an email to support@letstruck. Be healthy. Strong, be vibrant, and master the journey to your destination health. Kevin Rutherford. All right, I'll give you a quick heads up. We're going to start into the second hour. It looks like you might be able to squeeze in. If you press 1 on your phone right now, we might be able to get to you. I will keep you updated as we go. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and this is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham, and we're here to take your calls and answer your questions about everything health. We've been lied to, and it's killing us. Kim and I are here to help you break through to the truth and reach your healthy destiny. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, and Kim's an Ironman triathlete, and we believe key to a long, healthy, vibrant life starts with a properly prepared, nutrient-dense, whole food diet. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about food, nutrition, weight loss, disease, training, prescription drugs, and so much more. And, of course, we'll wrap it all around that trucking lifestyle. So, Kim, welcome back to the program.
Oh, glad to be here, Kevin. You know, at the end of the last show, you said, I loved it. It's when you said, be healthy, be strong, be vibrant. And I think that's what everybody's experiencing, you know, on this journey too. I, you know, there's been many times in my life I could say I haven't felt strong or vibrant. And to hear you say those words, was, it just kind of spoke to me. It was kind of cool because a lot of us can shake our head yes now, you know.
Good, good. I was looking back at times in my life where I didn't feel healthy. I didn't feel strong. I didn't feel vibrant. I felt weak and tired. I was more susceptible to getting sick. And every time that I would get to that point, it would almost always coincide with working too much. You know, I've started several businesses. I stay busy on different projects. I volunteer on things. And I looked back and thought, boy, you know, I remember when I was doing this and I got to the point where I wasn't sleeping good. I was always tired. I didn't feel good. I was getting sick. And I've always known, and this was long before I did all the reading and the studying and the training, I've always known that food was an important part. And I would look around and go, you know what, I'm eating really poorly. No wonder why I feel like this. And I would go eat better. Now, I didn't necessarily understand nutrition the way I did now, but I would always go back to eating more whole, real food. I would eat, you know, more salads and more fresh food, and I would stop the fast food and stop the processed food and stop the convenience food. And the thing is, within just days, I would feel better. But even then, it didn't always click because I would fall back into that trap later on. And it might, you know, may have been a year or so later. And I would look around and go, okay, you've done it again. You got busy. Mm-hmm. You're not paying attention to your nutrition. And, you know, instinctively, I knew that when I got to that point, I had to start eating better. And without really knowing it, I would default to just eating more whole, real, fresh food.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that kind of cool? We kind of know where we need to come back to. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes yeah. It is, you have to hit bottom a little bit or a little blip, but that's what's so great that we're talking, because each week we come back to this and it keeps us focused. And I just, I'm grateful for it.
Absolutely. What do you say we get to some phone calls?
That would be great.
All right. Let's start off in Florida. Kenny Long, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey. You know, I normally don't announce somebody with their last name, but I want to let everybody know you're our other podcast host, and, you know, we'll always take an opportunity to plug a great show. So before you ask your question, why don't you take an opportunity and give us a shameless plug for your show?
Oh, shameless plugs. I love that. Okay. Well, I host Trucking with Authority on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. The number is 646-668-2277. It's a call-in show just like this one, and I help people make the transition up to getting their own authority. So I can help with FMCSA, with insurance requirements, regulations, all that type of stuff. I take questions and try to do my best to get the answers.
Yeah, and you are doing a great job. You have a very loyal following. I get a ton of messages from people that they love the show, so thank you for that.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Well, my question tonight, though, is I've been on and off the keto diet, and I've been on your show before, and we discussed how I was more of a fan of the South Beach diet, and they're similar. Low carb is the goal on all of these diets. Any diet that works is always seems to be low carb. But I'm trying to go keto. I'm trying to give this a shot. And I've gone back and forth. I'll go for 3 or 4 days and maybe a week. And actually getting my wife, Elizabeth, on board tends to be the challenge that I'm trying to overcome. And I'm not trying to throw her under the bus, but she has a different opinion. She wants to try to do more of a vegan style diet. And I want to do the South Beach, or now I'm trying the keto diet. And they don't always click. And so we finally come together and we've gone back and forth. And because we can't really come to a good compromise, we end up doing neither. So we finally decided, you know, and you can do a lot of the vegan style stuff because it's a lot of vegetable oils you can use. And so we found a way to make it work. So finally, we decided that we'll do this. So we're starting today. Today is day zero. So this morning, I did a big cup of Bulletproof coffee. Now, I've done this before. Like I said, I've done, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and Bulletproof coffee works great for me. And I'll drink a big cup of Bulletproof coffee in the morning, but, you know, and I can go all day like that. Today, drank my coffee this morning, and within 2 hours, I am currently starving hungry, and I don't know why. What did I do wrong?
Maybe nothing. And maybe all we need to do is just give it a little more time. It might take a day or two since you're cycling in and out. Have you or are you testing blood sugar levels at all?
Not yet. No, I haven't gotten to that yet.
You may want to try that. It's really pretty simple. I know it kind of freaks people out in the beginning. It freaked me out a little bit. But once you start doing it, it's just like anything else. It becomes pretty normal. Appetite has a lot to do with blood sugar. You know, if something might spike our blood sugar, and it's weird sometimes the things that could do it, and then the insulin kicks in and our blood sugar starts dropping. When it's on its way down is when we're going to start getting those hunger signals. So I would either just try to wait it out a couple days, or I would start monitoring blood sugar. And when you feel that hunger, test your blood sugar and see what's happening. If it's dropping, then we just need to figure out why. You know, what is causing that drop? In the beginning, you can get some kind of weird readings like that. That's why I would recommend that. The other thing you might want to try, and this isn't an attempt to just sell a product. This is some testing I've been doing the last couple weeks that I was going back to the coconut oil in my Bulletproof coffee, and I was finding the same thing you were just talked about. I drink my Bulletproof coffee at 5 or 6 in the morning, and it used to take me till 10 or 11. Then I'd drink another one, and I'd be good till 1 or 2. And all of a sudden, I was drinking it, and an hour later, I'd be starving again. And then I'd drink another cup, and I wasn't even making it till lunch. And I thought, well, what's going on? And I was also adding carbs back into my diet, good carbs, but some more starches and things like that. And I think what was happening was the starches, and I would eat them late in the day, they were knocking me completely out of ketosis. And getting up in the morning, just a cup of Bulletproof coffee wasn't enough to get me back in until I switched the coconut oil for the brain octane. And what a difference when I was paying attention and I'm measuring my ketones. On the Bulletproof coffee with the coconut oil, if I had too many carbs the night before, it just wasn't putting me back into ketosis. I wasn't producing any ketones or very, very little. When I added the brain octane instead, my ketones went through the roof and my appetite disappeared. And that's what happens. It's the ketones that kind of kill the appetite. Because the body says, oh, we have all the fuel we need. You know, we don't need to eat anything. So you could either check blood sugar to see if that's causing it, or you could check ketone levels, or both. But you might want to try the brain octane and see what that does.
Okay, I'll give that a shot. And my other question was, like I said, I'm going to go hardcore with this. I'm going all out. I'm going to make sure I'm going to try to keep protein and carbs, at least for the first couple of weeks, down to, you know, I'm going to shoot for zero and see how good I can do and just work on just fats. I'm going to kind of make my staple food like a homemade mayo and work with some sauces and things with that. And that'll just kind of be my go-to, you know, and build my meals around something like that. And for the first couple of weeks, and then I'll slowly start adding other stuff back in. So that's my goal. Now, at the same time, how do you feel about adding exercise in? You know, I'm already doing some minor stuff, but, you know, kind of increasing my exercise levels.
Got it. Let me get to a break. We'll come back. That's a great question. We'll talk about that right after this. Stick around. Kevin Crossfit. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cocker, and we're talking with Kenny Long in Florida. Kenny, I think exercise is excellent, and adding more of it during this time can help. What I've found is the whole key behind ketosis is producing the ketones. The more ketones we produce, the better hunger control we have, the more fat burning we seem to get into, the more energy we have. That what I've found is that one of the ways to help increase ketone production is to do high intensity interval training, not long duration stuff, high intensity short, okay, and to do it in a fasted state. So when you get up in the morning, you could have a cup of bulletproof coffee and do your workout then, and it really kicks up the ketone production, which helps you control your appetite all day.
Okay. See, what I was afraid of was, you know, trying to do both at the same time might be too much of a shock to the system, so to speak, and might make it a little more difficult to get over this little bit of a hump as I'm getting into the ketosis stage. Do you think that's kind of backwards thinking, or...?
No, I don't. I think that's good thinking, and I think you're going to have to watch that yourself, you know, because everybody's different.
Okay.
So if you start working out and you find that you're just either exhausted, you know, you don't have the energy to work out, or it's making you hungry all the time, then you might want to back off. And Kim, you have a ton of experience, mm-hmm, as far as training, being keto adapted. Any ideas for him?
It is tough, Ken, because I know you're such a fit person, and so you might have your baseline of what you think, you know, how you feel when you work out, and you might feel a little different with it, you know, but just stick with it until you become fat adapted and, you know, get the ketones going that's going to be fueling you. You might have a little blip, you know, a couple weeks where you just don't feel good, but don't give up on that. I know we don't do the exercise for the weight loss. I fully believe in getting the exercise and the strength work and the, you know, get the high intensity stuff in there because there's just so many benefits to it.
Right. Well, and you know, and my last comment here would be, I'm actually looking forward to this because while you've had questions and comments about this being an expensive diet to get into, Elizabeth and I went to the store last night. We bought, you know, some avocados. We bought some big bottles of some healthy oils and things like that. And I start looking at this, and I was on Amazon here while I was sitting on hold, and a gallon of avocado oil can be $50 or $60. And that seems expensive. But then when you start looking at how far that will go, and, you know, if you can go to the store, and most people would buy a steak. It might cost $10 or $15, and you add the vegetables and a potato and all the other things, the fixings, and you're looking at $20 a plate for dinner made at home. And, you know, you cut all that stuff in, you know, by 25% down to nothing, and then you add just a big scoop of some homemade mayo, and your cost actually, I'm looking forward to saving money.
It's a really good point, and you're right. And people will find that it's the amounts of food. It's funny, Kim, because I feel like I'm eating a lot. And the reason I feel that way is I'm almost always satisfied. You
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes
yeah.
I have all kinds of really healthy food around and things I love. I mean, I look forward to eating them. And sometimes I'll say, boy, you know, I got a great piece of halibut in the refrigerator. I do right now. I just bought it. And I love to eat it, but I'm not hungry. You know, I'm just not hungry. I feel like I eat a lot because I'm always satisfied. But when I look at the amount of food I eat in a day, it's just not very much.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that halibut.
Let's,
that sounds pretty good.
Well, and you know, we're yeah. kind of camping, so I'm
yeah.
going to build me a nice, I've got some really nice wood. I'm going to build a little fire,
oh,
and I'm
nice.
Going to put the halibut on a cedar plank and put it over the fire, and yeah. So
see, I just think food takes a whole different look. You know, I just do. I just think it, you know, when we're eating whole, and I bet Kenny and Elizabeth, even when they were shopping, you know, it just takes a different look and feel to it when you're you know you're nursing yourself and it's just fun.
Absolutely. Let's go to Texas. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tim and Kevin, great show. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
What's on your mind today?
I've been on this diet for a year and a half. I've lost about 20 pounds, and I'm feeling great. But I emailed Tim maybe about 3 months ago. I've been having problems after driving for maybe an hour or so. My legs and my back are giving me problems. And she said maybe I needed to take the Light Balance. What can I do?
The Light Balance helps, and I think just about anybody could benefit from the Light Balance because it is hard to maintain that mineral balance. But are you feeling pain in your muscles or in your joints?
I don't know. Maybe all of the above. You know, like I say, both of my legs and my back hurt after a while and I never had this problem before.
Okay, so here's one of the things that we need to be aware of. The ketogenic diet, let's just be really clear about this. The ketogenic diet, all that really refers to is our macronutrient balance. It means we're eating a lot of fat, a little bit of protein, and very low carbs. That doesn't necessarily have to be a healthy diet. You could be eating bad fats. You could be eating, you know, poor quality protein. And that's typically what I see with people on the road. Because it's easy to eat ketogenic on the road, it's hard to eat clean on the road. And I think that's what you're running into. Pain is always inflammation. Inflammation is caused by a poor omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acid ratio. Poor quality food, conventionally raised animals, you know, poor quality fats, those are all really high in omega-6 and very low in omega-3. And if that happens, we get chronic inflammation. You may be eating a ketogenic diet, but you may not be eating a really clean diet. So you've got to work harder to get less omega-6 and more omega-3. And we need to start looking at adding in some anti-inflammatory foods as well.
Okay, Kevin, what I've done, I'm having problems. I've gone to my doctor, and she put me on Celebrex, which I know is extremely bad. But the last month or so, I've been eating only the grain-fed meat. I've got it at a place here in Texas, and they're supposedly the whole process. They don't feed them any grain. And I've also been doing the butter. And the cheese, everything is grain fed. So I mean, I don't know if that. You think maybe that's pretty much enough.
That should help. I would get off the Celebrex because that will throw a monkey wrench into all of this. So I realize you got to have something to manage the pain, but I would use some natural pain relieving creams. You know, there's some really good ones on the market. I would keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. You might want to look at an omega-3 supplement for now. We have a pretty good supplement that's a good balance of 3, 6, and 9. You may want to try that, see if we can kind of jumpstart this process. If that doesn't work, the next thing you may want to try is a food sensitivity panel. You may just be eating foods that aren't necessarily good for you. Remember, we're all very bio-individual. I'm just going to give you an example. I'm not trying to say this is what's going on, but some people are very sensitive to nightshades. That's a group of vegetables, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, some other things. And that can cause inflammation in one person because they're sensitive to it, but not in another. I don't seem to be sensitive to nightshades at all. You could be sensitive to the components that are in the cheese, possibly. Dairy sensitivities are actually pretty common. So let's just try to keep eating that clean diet. You might want to supplement with a good fatty acid supplement. Add cinnamon into your diet. Add turmeric into your diet if you can. Some ginger. Those are all anti-inflammatory kind of foods. And let's see if that works. And if that doesn't work, if the pain continues, then I would say I would do a food sensitivity panel.
Okay, so the supplements you're talking about, I could be able to get them. How would I get those that you're talking about that you guys have?
You can call Kim. Kim, you're familiar with the fatty acid supplement, correct? I know we don't have that one listed yet, but we'll go in and we'll get that one set up, because this is a case where, again, just to let everybody know what my take is on supplements, I want to get this stuff in whole food first. Daniel's already eating really clean, so I think maybe this is one of those times when we need to jumpstart. We have a targeted supplement. Not recommending the supplement for everybody, but in this case, I think targeting with this fatty acid balance to kind of jumpstart it. So Daniel, call Kim, and we'll get you started on that. And again, only till we get that fatty acid balance back where it needs to be, get the inflammation down, get the pain gone. And if this doesn't work, we'll have to try the food sensitivity. Stick around. We'll be right back. Kevin Rumpf. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. This is Destination Health, and we're going to get back to the phone calls. We are off to Mississippi. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Well, I am 43 years old. I lost 90 pounds in the past 2 years. I'm super excited. I've met you different times at the truck shows, and I've had a few people tell me that I'm drinking too much water. Can you give me your opinion on if 14 bottles of water is too much a day?
How big are the bottles? What size?
They're the 16.9 ounces.
Ooh, yeah, I think that is too much. You know, here's the thing. This is kind of interesting, because even in the nutritional therapy training I took, they have a formula for water consumption. And I have a problem with it. It's half of your body weight in ounces per day. That's a baseline. And then on top of that, you're supposed to drink 1.5 times the ounces of diuretics you drink. So diuretics are things like coffee, tea, soda, hopefully we're not drinking any of that, fruit juice, hopefully we're not drinking any of that, and alcohol. So what they're saying is, just to start off, you have to drink half your body weight in ounces. Then if you drink 10 ounces of coffee, you have to add an additional 15 ounces of water. Well, the problem I have with that is there are too many other factors. I will tell you, if you sit inside an air-conditioned truck all day and don't do a lot of activity, you don't need nearly that much water. But if you're outside in the desert Southwest and it's 100 degrees and dry, you're going to need way more water. There are lots of other factors, too. How your diet. You know, if you're eating a ton of vegetables, vegetables are high in water content. So that formula bothers me, because it doesn't take in all the other factors. So I started thinking about, once we start eating right, we start eating whole, real food, then we know all we have to do is trust our appetite. Our body knows when we should eat, when we shouldn't, as long as we're eating a good, clean diet, and it works. So if we can trust our appetite, why can't we trust our thirst? That I've been questioning that more and more, and I did a bunch of testing, and honestly, I think thirst is a good indicator. Once you get your body fully hydrated, then I think you can just trust your thirst. So some people would say, well, what's the problem? What if you drink too much water? Big deal. Well, it is a big deal. If you drink too much water, you will keep flushing the water-soluble vitamins out of your system, and you don't want to do that. So we do want to find that balance, and your water consumption seems a little high to me. Kim, what do you think?
Yeah, when he and I'm so glad, Kurt, you had emailed in and called the show, and it did seem just that when he said it was 16.9 ounces, and I calculated it out, it was, you know, I usually don't worry about water. I don't seem to go way over, but that, to me, was just a little bit high.
So I should cut down a little bit and not force it down.
Are you forcing it? Do you feel like you're forcing it?
Yeah, near the end of, you know, I did learn that I got to quit drinking water a half hour before dinner. So, yeah, I'm kind of forcing it. And now that I'm getting smaller and I am losing weight, I think it might be too much. I just wanted to get a professional opinion. And I think with the forcing it down, it might be. So, yeah, I just want to I want to lose the weight. I am eating healthy, and if I could only express enough how much better I feel now than I did 2 years ago. I never went on a diet before, and it's so exciting to me that I woke up and seen the light, and I can promise you that I will not be a yo-yo dieter, and I can also promise you that I'm going to be down to a good weight in a year from now. I'm going to be 175 to 180. And I just, and I am eating healthy. I love it. I'm so excited. If you would know how excited I am. So
I can,
so you think that
I know.
You think it's a little too much water. I love it. I wish other drivers would know that you can be healthy. I really wish.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we'll keep spreading the word, and you help. You know, you are such a great example. Kim, I have to tell you a story. So at the seminar at GATS on health, on the ketogenic diet, eating this way and all this stuff, I was making a comment about the different levels of carb intake and how you have to find your own level. And the idea is to eat as many carbs as you can, good, healthy carbs, and stay either in ketosis or in that place where you're happy with your weight and some other things. And I was talking about the fact that if somebody were really fit and healthy, they may be able to eat more carbs. And I said something about, you know, some people could go all the way 75 to 100 carbs and still stay healthy. And I said, most of us in this group probably don't fit into that category. But as I was saying it, I was looking around in the audience, and I stopped and I was looking at Kurt, and in my mind I was thinking, he looks healthy enough, he might be the guy here that could eat that many carbs. He just looks so good.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome. Yeah, I'm not sure if you still have him on. I was going to reach out and see if we could post his before and after pictures when I emailed him back, I said, you could hear the energy in his voice, in his words. You know, there's just something about it when somebody reclaims their health and their energy just comes through in everything they do. And a lot of people don't remember what that feels like. So, Kurt, you are still on. So, yeah, your pictures were absolutely amazing and just
yes, you do have my permission to use my pictures.
Thank you.
I'm so happy. It hurts my heart. It didn't 2 or 3 years ago hurt my heart. Hello?
We're here.
You still there?
Good. Oh,
it didn't hurt my heart to see big people, big truckers, because I was there. But now when I see big truckers, I'm out here all the time. And it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart because I was there and I did it. I just quit eating out, and you can be healthy, and it hurts my heart to see big people.
You know,
I love life.
And the best thing you can do, Kurt, is just do what you do, because I will tell you, to meet you in person, You are glowing. Kim, I know it just, you get this feeling. I mean, he's alive and he's vibrant, and he's such a great example.
Well, you wait till you see me in another year and see my excitement and happiness and my fitness level. I promise you I'm going to be healthier in a year from now.
I am looking
forward. Thank you for everything you do. Yep, thank you for everything you do.
Great stuff. Kim, I have goosebumps. I mean, and when I met him, you just feel the energy was just rolling off of him. And you could just see how happy he is and how strong and vibrant. He really looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so great.
Great stuff. Let's go to New York. Wade, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question for you here. I know you had recently became a grandpa maybe a year or so ago.
Yeah, almost two.
Okay. Yeah, I figured it was a while now. My wife and I, we were expecting our first here in October, so I am just curious on how they're making out with the ketogenic diet with the kids.
Let's talk about that. But before we do, let's talk about a couple other things. Have you read the book Brain Maker yet?
No. Nope.
It's by the same author that wrote Grain Brain, Dr. Perlmutter. I really want you to go read Brain Maker because he talks a lot in there about the birth process and how critical it is. And we're learning more and more about this, but that's a good book to kind of get you up to speed. That natural birth by far is best. You don't want a C-section unless it is life-threatening, and how important breastfeeding is. Those two things are critically important to get the baby started with a good, healthy microbiome, good, healthy gut bacteria. And then diet, obviously, the rest of their life is pretty important as well. So let's get to a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about how the babies have been eating their whole life and how they're doing with it. Stick around. We'll be right back. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. We're going to go back to Wade in New York. So, Wade, let me clarify one thing real quick. The babies technically, we're not sure if they're really eating a ketogenic diet or not. Because there's no clear definition, a ketogenic diet is any diet that would put somebody into ketosis. But a diet that might put me into ketosis may not put you into ketosis. So we don't know because we're not measuring ketones in the boys or not. My son, they're not, you know, doing that. So babies are born in ketosis. That's a natural state when a baby is born. If they are breastfed, they tend to stay in ketosis. When they start eating food, the macronutrient balance would determine whether they were in ketosis or not. But my son really doesn't care about them being in ketosis. He has them eating more of a paleo-style diet because that's really good, healthy eating for them. They are probably moving in and out of ketosis, but we wouldn't know that unless we actually tested it. But babies, especially if we start them young when they're born, probably don't ever need a true ketogenic diet. Their you know, blood sugar control hasn't been compromised at all. They should be able to handle a pretty decent carb load as long as they're good, healthy carbs and the kids are active, and they're very active. So they are eating, I'll just kind of give you an idea of what they eat. So they eat a ton of veggies, and the veggies are typically pureed in, there'll be pastured meats and bone broth in there as well. So they are probably getting a pretty big carb load every day. They eat some fruits, but they're also getting good, healthy fats. They're getting organ meats. They're getting pastured egg yolks. They're getting avocados. They're getting homemade bone broths. So they are eating a really, really clean, and that's all they eat. I mean, that is like 100% of their diet is paleo, really clean. And they're doing really well with it. They're very active, but not hyper in any way. They're happy and thriving. And I just can't imagine, you know, how much healthier they are going to be than myself even, or my son, who I thought I raised healthier than I was raised. But these boys have eaten really, really good, clean food their whole life.
Good. Yeah, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that's working good. It's funny how kids will make you think differently about what's good and what's not. So,
Yeah, it was the... Go ahead.
Read online. My wife is a nurse, so, you know, she's not as bullheaded as some people, but she's a little bit more open-minded than most in the medical community. But, you know, going through nursing school, she did have the traditional medical training.
Right.
What is the benefits? I've read online that it assists with the PCOS. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, I am familiar with that. And the benefits, again, you know, it really just comes down to the fact that that's something that didn't exist 100 years ago. And some people will say, well, it existed. We just didn't know what it was. We didn't know how to diagnose it. I don't think that's true. I think if it existed at all, it was very, very rare, and it's becoming more common now. And we can look at all of these diseases. Why are we getting diseases that didn't exist? Or why are diseases that used to be very rare now becoming common? And I believe 100% that it's our diet. It's what we eat. And if we eat whole, real food, forget ketogenic for a minute. I don't care if you're eating ketogenic or not. If you're just eating whole, real food, you're going to be healthier. All of these things are either going to get better or they're going to resolve themselves completely. And I really completely believe that it's all about the food we put in our mouth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We did try it for, we were both on the diet for probably about 3 weeks, and kind of we both fell off the wagon, but still I was able to show her the benefits of it. You know, she said about her appetite control, she had never felt that way in her life. You know, she was never able to go past,
yeah,
you know, 12 lunchtime without eating a meal, and she'd eat, you know, a small egg sandwich in the morning and she'd be good until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So.
Yeah, and the other thing we know that eating and the act of digestion is very hard on our body. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of other things. If we eat less, we're healthier. The problem is you don't want to starve yourself and be hungry all the time. And that's one of the real benefits of this. Let's go to Minnesota. Bill, welcome to the program.
So me? Talk to me?
Yes, your turn.
Oh, yep. Sorry, I was on my phone here. All right, I'm a new to keto person. My nephew, who is a truck driver, he stayed at our house for about a week, and I'm a accomplished marathoner. I'm a coach, and my wife is a triathlete. That's why I'm as excited when I also talk to Kim. And basically, I'm pushing for the diet, and she's kind of pushing back because we're looking that we want to be able to maintain our lifestyle. We do want to lose some weight, not a lot of weight, but you have to have the energy to perform where we want to perform for our exercise. And I know, Kim, you've been doing Ironmans. You know the intensity, the level you have to be at. Well, she doesn't do Ironmans, but if you get the idea. And then we don't know where exactly to start. I mean, he gave me some information. I think I know what your bulletproof coffee is, Kevin, because my nephew told me just put coconut oil in my coffee, and I've been doing that in the morning.
Don't forget the butter. Grass-fed butter and coconut oil.
Oh, really?
Two.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, grass-fed butter. Kerrygold is one of the easier brands to find. The grocery store I was in last night had four different brands of grass-fed butter, so that was exciting to see. yeah. Hey, you know, Kim, I you would probably agree with me on this. I would love to have you go watch a couple movies. You can find them online. I don't know if they're free online. I think you have to have a subscription to see them on a couple sites. Serial Killers and Serial Killers 2. Those are excellent, really good movies about training on a very low-carb diet. And then the book I would recommend for you is called The Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Performance by Drs. Finney and Volek. And it's all about high-intensity elite training on a very low-carb diet. Kim, don't you agree those are just great resources?
Absolutely. You know, when I saw Bill's question on here, too, I was just jotting down some notes on that, too. And those are the top two. Because, Bill, you'll feel so empowered, especially if you watch that Run on Fat movie and read that book. I think back of this all the time where I fell into that trap of the goos and the Gatorades and all that kind of stuff. And it's a challenge getting off of that because you got to work through that. You really will. But it is so empowering to run on your own body's fuel and not have to have all that stuff with you when you're out there. I run now. I just have water with me. I'll do the light balance, but I use water and I haven't gone super long yet. 10 miles is the longest I've gone. But before, I would have had to have something to eat or a goo every 45 minutes at that point, you know, and hours before I start. And so when you watch that movie, if you read that book, it will be a process to go through to do it, but you will recover better. You will run better. You'll have this energy. There's another thing, Endurance Planet is a website out there that has some podcasts, and she works with pro athletes, and Dr. Phil Maffetone, and she's had some of the ultra runners, Zach Bitter and Tim Olson on there that fuel this way, that do, you know, don't do the carbs, I mean, the sugar carbs. So I'm excited for you guys. It's a new avenue to take. You'll get pushback from your fellow athletes because they're just used to it. I was afraid to go out without my goos at first, you know, because you don't like that feeling, and you will have to work through that a little bit. But you will love where this takes your whole athletic life. And energy in general.
Yeah, that book again was Art and Science of
Low Carb Performance.
Okay.
It's sad.
Yeah. It was kind of fun because my nephew, when he was here for a week, I pushed back. I pushed back on him for a week about, you know, because I've been training people for years on how they got a carbo load and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We would go into the night on this stuff. And Kevin, he put me on to you, and I've been listening to you guys whenever I can on Wednesdays and on via my phone.
Well, thank you for that. Unfortunately, we just hit the wall here on the show. We're all out of time, so we're going to have to wrap this up. Kim, any final words?
No, this was just so exciting, Kevin. So I just thank everybody for being a part of this.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And you're right. It's exciting for somebody who's training. Bill, get the book. Watch the movie. The movie Run on Fat is just amazing, very inspiring. And there are some great resources out there. The website Kim mentioned, Endurance Planet, is a great one. We've got to go. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Be healthy, be strong, be vibrant, and master the journey to your destination health. Kevin Rock. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kevin.